Good morning. Seek Him with everything you have. You'll find peace. You'll experience love. In worship today, we're going to be learning about loving one another, but it's nice to be loved too, isn't it? To feel loved, to feel valued. And with God, we have that. He's a good, good Father. And yeah, He guides and directs us and disciplines us when necessary, and we all need it, of course. But yeah, His love through us to others. Let's hear more about it in the reading. Reader here today?
First reading is from 1 John chapter 3, 11 through 24. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need and has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt, love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Here ends our lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we ask that your word would speak to us, Lord, to our very spirits, that we would be changed, be more like you, and better equipped to love one another. Amen. Love one another. Just say that and I could step down. I mean, that's it. That's what Jesus says here. That's what the other readings say, that we're supposed to love others. Absolutely. And John writes then in his letter, verse 11, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. It's that simple. I like a few years ago, Margaret Peterson over in Glenwood, she's now probably 100 or 101 or something, still around, made these shirts that say, be kind. You see them everywhere now in different colors. And that just sort of sums it up, right? If we are being kind to others, we are showing them love. different types of love in Greek, of course. You know, you got the eros, which is the romantic love. You got the brotherly love. You got the agape love, the overall love, and different types. But just simply being kind and being nice. As Christians, that's what we should be known for. When you think of a Christian, that should be one of the things that defines us. Being kind, loving one another. Unfortunately, some people hear the word Christian, they think someone that's judgmental. Someone that's just rigid and things like that. And, well, we have to be rigid. We have to stand firm for what is right. But in a loving way, we have to somehow combine those two again. And that can be the challenge. But yeah, being kind, loving one another, being like Jesus. That's what he did when he walked this earth, and that's what he still does today. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother, okay? Yeah. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil, and his brothers were righteous. One evil, one righteous, and the two don't mix there. It continues, "Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you." It seems that evil, for some reason, hates what is good. Now, what is that? Why is that? Evil hates what is good. You see that timeless plot in books and movies where you always have the good versus evil. And it's going to be in many, many, many books, many, many movies. Remember as a kid watching a movie or something like that, trying to figure out, okay, right away, who's the bad guy and who's the good guy, right? Because it's always good versus evil. In Star Wars, that way, the opening scenes of Star Wars 4 when they first came out, you know, the doors opened up and there's all these guys in white suits. I'm thinking, okay, they must be the good ones because they're wearing white. No, that was the stormtroopers, right? And when Darth Vader came in, it was very obvious, you know, who is on the good side and who is not. And we want to side with the good. We do not want to see evil overcome. It's something within us to side with what is right, to side with what is good, not to side with what is evil. Why does evil hate what is good? Are they just jealous? Could be, because they're not experiencing love. They don't have peace like we do. What? It divides. It divides, yeah. Hate will divide, evil will divide, and love should bring together, right? Absolutely, 100%. So, yeah, there's always this, you know, good and evil, and we know the source of each, right? God, the source of what is good, and our enemy, the source of what is evil. So it's a timeless plot, but it plays out in real life as well, and it's a real deal. Not just physically, but in the spirit, right? Spiritual attacks, we've all experienced them going on all around us in the spiritual realm all the time, overlapping into the physical realm, 100%. Evil is out there. It does exist. We see it manifest itself. And you turn on the news and you see about a shooting or something like that. Evil, right? It's evil. Okay? Some evil has overtaken someone, and that person then does acts that hurt others. Evil seeks to harm what is good. This whole evil concept, I guess I just don't get it. Someone that's given over to evil, they've maybe given up hope. Maybe they haven't experienced love, and they seek to do harm then because out of resentment or jealousy, whatever, to what is good. But now they're being controlled by the one who is evil. And that's the root cause of it. If people are controlled by the evil one, they're going to do things that are evil, of course. Sometimes they might do things to make themselves look good, to disguise themselves as good, as part of the army of light. But no, the true motives will come out. And they will be exposed, if not in this life, at the end. For sure. But it's different with us. Maybe some of us have walked some of those paths. Maybe we have gone down some of those roads. And admittedly, we are all sinners still. Maybe we've got rid of our deliberate sin. Some of us were deliberately living against God, knowingly sinning. We get rid of that when we're born again, and we're still going to screw up. Okay, it happens. But we're not living in opposition to God and His will anymore. We are living according to His will when we have been born again, given our lives over to Christ. And we know then that we have passed from death to life. Before, maybe we were living in darkness and death, but we have come to life now because we love our brothers. It shows. Because we love our brothers, it shows. Love can't just be a thought. Okay, yeah, I love that person, whatever, and just words, right? It has to be an action. And that's what we're going to read here later on too. That it love is should be like a verb. It's something you do, right? Okay. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death or in darkness. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know what? No murderer has eternal life in him. Jesus talked about that too. Thinking evil thoughts about others, you're murdering him, you know, not physically, but you are standing against him in the wrong way. So let us control our thoughts as well. And Jesus gave us an example. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Yes. He lived his whole life for others here on earth, but ultimately laid down his life. It continues, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Yesterday is Veterans Day. Okay, we got to celebrate that. Got to honor some veterans. And it's a good thing, because we're talking about people who are willing to lay down their lives for their brothers. But it doesn't have to look like that. It doesn't have to involve giving of your life here on earth, dying for others. Can we live for others instead of dying for others? Yes. And that's something we could do on a daily basis, living for others. Dying to self and living for others. And that's a cool thought, you know, living for others. What does that look like? Well, it looks like that shirt, be kind, right? Sharing what you have. We're going to get to that in a verse or two. It's going to look like acts of kindness. Just maybe opening the door for someone, greeting someone, spending a little time with someone. Maybe they're going through struggles that we can't even imagine, that they're not telling anybody about. But your simple act of kindness, by taking a minute to talk to them, by listening to them, by spending time with them, can be life-changing. You don't even realize what you've done. Anybody ever been on the receiving end where someone just takes time for you? Isn't that a cool deal? To know that someone cares. That they care. And as Christians, again, that should define us. It doesn't have to be an extravagant thing. And it's something simple by nature. The being kind is simple. It doesn't always involve money. You don't buy something for someone. You just give of yourself for them. You make that difference in someone's lives. And it's not to gain anything. We don't give to get. We don't seek recognition for these acts of kindness. We're just simply doing out of that motive, out of kindness, out of the motive of God's love. I remember one of my sons sharing with me that, he happens to be a police officer, deputy, and going through a drive-thru, and he gets up there to pay, and the person in front of him had already paid. Simple act of kindness, right? Showing respect to others. The motive? Hopefully pure. Hopefully they weren't trying to get out a speeding ticket next time they saw him. Okay? But just to be kind. And then he later on, my son, the deputy, had someone drive by and just gave him this mean look. You know, this person did not have a positive view of law enforcement. It was very, very obvious. I don't believe it involved a hand gesture, but it, you know, the look said it all. And a little bit later, Andrew finds himself in his squad car in front of that person at the drive-thru. Paid for their meal. Okay, pretty cool. You know, do not repay evil with evil, but overcome evil with good, as it tells us in Romans 12. And there's just an example of that. By not returning evil for evil, but doing good instead. Showing who we are. Because if we have given our lives to Christ, that is who we are, and that is what we do. We don't stop and think, we just do it because it's who we are. We have been changed, okay? And we now act as he would. Anyone who has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? With the brother here, they're talking about the brethren, our fellow believers, but I would say anybody that has a need, we give to them, we help them, we bless them. The church here, our gathered congregation at Shalom, it's in our constitution, over 10% has to be given away to help others. Has to be. We got it in writing. And we go over 10%. Even when we're struggling financially, we still give away. Because it's who we are and what we do. And I love that. That's great. And once every 3 months, we get to sit down and try to figure out who we're going to bless this time. or who God is going to bless through us. That's better, right? Credit to Him, all glory to Him. Who God is going to bless through us. We ask Him, who, Lord, do you want us to give these funds to? How can we best help the cause? How can we build the kingdom? And we get some really cool opportunities locally and abroad. I just love that. Let us be a giving people, right? So, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Yes. Not just say it, okay? We can talk a good game. A lot of people can do that. They can talk a good game, but do they live it out? All right? This is the part that we need to examine ourselves. And I believe that pretty near everybody sitting here lives it out. Not just says it, but lives it out. They'll know we are Christians by our love. It's by our acts. It's by what we do. Not by what we say. Anybody can preach, you know, and say all kinds of good stuff, but you know, the proof is going to be in how they act, what their actions are. James says the same thing in the book of James there too, right? Show your faith without works. Now, you got to have works, right? Faith without works is dead. There has to be that active part of us out there actually living it, not just identifying as a Christian, okay? These days you can identify as a lot of stuff. But okay, identifying as a Christian, if people are given a survey and they have to check, you know, on, okay, are you a Christian, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Hindu? Oh, okay, I believe in Jesus, I'm a Christian, right? Yeah, we can say it, we can check that box, but are you living it? Are you doing it? Is it who you are and what you do on a daily basis? Without even thinking. And it's your identity. So yeah, we can identify as a Christian, but maybe not live it out. And the living it out is the important part here. Alrighty. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth. Alrighty. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. If you're doing right, your heart, the Spirit in you is not going to condemn you. It's not going to bring it to your attention and say, hey, you need to take a look and change this. If you're doing right, you're not going to hear that. And we pray, God, that you will set us right, that your Spirit will guide us. If we're doing something wrong, making bad choices, not representing you faithfully, Lord, may we feel the Spirit within us, maybe bringing up a little guilt in a good way, right? There's bad guilt, of course, but in that way that he comes within us and sort of makes us think, yeah, I wasn't really faithful to God in what I did there. We should be walking that right path. And the Spirit, again, will guide us. If you're in touch with the Spirit, you're going to feel it in you. You're going to know it. And if you have been convicted lately, good. Okay? You're doing the right thing. But the Spirit will affirm when you do the right thing too, because don't you get a good feeling for doing good to others? Absolutely. We don't seek any reward financially or anything like that. But there's an intrinsic reward, a natural reward. When you help others, you just plain feel good. And that's great. You know, keep it up. Do more good out there, right? It's just one of these byproducts that is just a wonderful thing where you get to feel that. Alrighty. This is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, like we had learned last week, to receive and believe from John 1. Just receive, because it's what he does. And believe. And to love one another as he commanded us. And when we believe, it's going to again be a natural byproduct there that we are going to love one another. Again, because we have been changed, we have this new identity, it's who we are, it's what we do. Without even thinking, we just automatically do that. For the right reasons. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. Yes, he lives in us, and he loves through us. His love to others through us. We get to be a participant by letting God's love come through us to others. Alrighty? And that's pretty cool to be a participant in that, to just offer yourself up on a daily basis. Lord, however you want to use me today to bless others, to have you bless others through me. There we go. It's from him. All glory to him. We are just the conduits, and he can sort of use us to direct his love where it's needed. By helping others, by being kind to others, by sharing our faith with them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Again, living in that way, the Holy Spirit within you, guiding you, confirming when you're doing right, maybe convicting when you're doing wrong. Absolutely, his Spirit lives within us. This loving one another was also addressed by Paul in Romans today. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Boy, when you finally pay off debt, isn't that a good feeling? Maybe you've had this loan for a long time, and you're just finally clean of it and clear of it. And go, yes, okay, you can feel this sense of freedom. Okay, well, here's the continuing debt. Okay, there's no end to it. But this is in a good way, right? Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Well, a debt is owed to someone. To whom is this owed? Well, for the one that loved us so much that he gave his life for us. We are in debt to him, and we're paying that debt back by being kind to others, okay? By loving one another. For he loves his fellow man who has fulfilled the law. Okay, the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, are summed up in one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. I was working with the kids up at Spiritual Journey, or Sacred Journey Academy on Friday, and we were going through the commandments. I'm going through with some third graders, and it was just a blast, and it was fun. But we'd sort of pointed out that the first commandments are all about our relationship to God, and the second part of them is to others. So think about the first ones there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay? Love the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Not taking the name of the Lord your God in vain. And remembering the Sabbath. Those are all honoring God. But then we start with others, right? Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet. That's our relationship with others. And that's what's summing up here, right? The committing adultery, coveting, and stealing are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it, okay? If you're loving them, you're not coveting, you're not stealing, you're not killing, you're not committing adultery, there we go. You are just being kind and nice. And the cool part, verse 10, love does no harm to its neighbor. Love does no harm. It's like pure good. Pure good. Love. It doesn't do any harm. It can't do any harm. It's caring about others. It's being there for others. It's loving others. And that's God, just pure good, right? God is love. He is pure good. And all the law and prophets are fulfilled in this, right? To love God and to love others. Part of who we are is shalom, too. Love God, love others, serve well. Alrighty, Jesus himself addressed this then in the gospel for today. We just had a couple quick verses here. A new command I give you, he's speaking to the disciples, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Okay, summing it up, love one another. But to the same degree, as I have loved you, we're supposed to love like Jesus did? It still does. And then it says, so you must love one another, not should. It's not a suggestion. Hey, you should love one another. It's you must love one another. Even if you disagree at times, love one another. Even if you can't see eye to eye, love one another. Even if something about that person just bugs you, love one another. Love shows grace. With our, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all directed towards God. We're all moving towards him, right? Maybe in different lanes, but we're moving in the same direction. It's like a multi-lane highway. We're all maybe in different lanes, but we're moving that way towards him, ideally. And loving one another, helping one another, sharing with another as we go. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. We should be known for it. Again, it's a defining characteristic of Christians that they love one another. Other religions don't have that going on. They might have love as part of what they do. But this is what we do because it's who we are. We have been changed to become more like him. It's who we are. It's what we do. Let us love one another. Amen.